Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California, August 4, 1980. An interview with Fred Chung at his residence in Silver Lake, conducted by Beverly Tung. Mr. Chung, can you tell me where your parents were from?
Where my what?
Your parents.
Oh, my parents were both from southern China, Canton.
Mm-hmm. Which village?
My father was from Huiping.
Huiping.
Canton, Huiping, Sagong.
Sagong.
Yeah. My mother was from Fatsan.
Is that the name of a village?
Yeah, Fatsan. Fatsan. Mm-hmm.
I see. And what was your father's background and occupation?
Well, my father's background was principally in the fishing industry, salmon canneries. He was a contractor for fishing canneries in the Oregon Territory, the state of Oregon.
When did he go up to Oregon?
Well, when he first arrived, he made a point to go from San Francisco to Oregon, and he stayed most of his life up in Oregon.
How old was he when he arrived?
I believe he was around about 12 years old when he first came to the United States.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
And which year was that, dude? Yeah. So you figure he came here in 1870 something?
Let me guess back. No, he didn't. This is 1980. Well, he was born around 1870.
Okay.
He came here in the 1880s, around 81 to somewhere around there.
I see. Did he tell you why he wanted to go into the fishery business?
The only reason he went into the fishing business was because most Chinese that lived in Oregon, especially in the Columbia River area near Astoria, Oregon, that was the main type of work for the Chinese. Working inside of the fish canner, not fishing, not going out to catch the fish,
right,
but canning the fish.
Yeah, canning.
And he worked himself up to be foreman, and later on as a subcontractor, hiring the people to work in the fish cannery. He had to hire Filipino crews, Chinese crews, and Japanese crews. And they worked in the fish canneries.
Mm-hmm. I see. And was he married here then, in the United States?
I beg your pardon?
Your father. Was he married here?
Yes, my father was married here. He married my mother in 1907, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Right after the San Francisco fire. Earthquake. After the San Francisco earthquake.
I see that. He was in San Francisco?
He was in San Francisco at that time, but he had been working in the fish cannery, then he'd make trips down to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he finally decided to get married, he came down to the San Francisco area, and it was a match.
Oh.
Just like her mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of more or less with the matchmaker and so forth and so on.
Oh.
And my mother was considerably younger than him.
Oh.
When he married her, when he married her, I think she was only about 18, and he was practically almost 40.
Oh, yeah. I see. And when were you born?
I was born in 1909.
Okay. In Oregon?
That's right.
I see. Astoria?
Astoria, Oregon.
I see. Was it a small town?
Very small town. Very small town. Population of approximately 10,000.
Northern Oregon?
Yes, on the Columbia River, about 100 miles from Portland, Oregon.
I see. Okay. And what kind of language did you speak at home?
At home, in the beginning, when I was a little child, we spoke Chinese only.
Mm-hmm. Say
and
yep, right?
Say yep.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't learn to speak English until I was 6 years old.
Oh.
I remember my mother telling me, when you go to school, the first day when I was in school, if they ask you, what is your name, you say, Fred Chung. So when the teacher asked me any question, I answered, Fred Chung. I still remember that because I couldn't speak English.
You don't understand what she said, right? Or you didn't understand?
I didn't understand the teacher saying
it. Yeah.
I know everything she said. I said, Fred Chung.
I see. Were there many Chinese up in Oregon at that
time? Only during the seasons when the canneries were open, which would be from April to September. Then the fall season is from the latter part of September to the end of August. Then over half of the population moved back to their wherever they came from, Portland and all the other cities.
Uh-huh.
So we had a very small population of Chinese, maybe about 30 or 40 families in Astoria. That was all the Chinese residences, year-round residences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not very many.
Your father went up to Astoria because he had relatives there working already?
No, he didn't have, well, possibly he had friends that had told him about the fish cannery. And it was a seasonal work. But then when he came over, he met an American family that were associated with the Standard Oil Company. And he became a houseboy for them during the time, in the early beginning of his life, between fish cannery season work, he would work with this family as a houseboy.
Mm. I see.
And consequently, I was named after these people. Their name were Fred Hiram,
oh,
Leinenweber. And when I was born, my father named me Fred Hiram Chung. That's how I got the word Hiram in there.
Ah, yes.
The name.
Your middle name.
My middle name is Hiram.
Okay. So how long did you live in Oregon before coming to Los Angeles?
I left Oregon permanently in 1935.
What was the reason?
Well, the reason is that at that time I had been going to school, and then of course the depression,
mm-hmm,
the depression hit. The canneries some of the canneries had to close because the Bonneville Dam was built, and it almost killed the fishing industry. So the Chinese had to look for other type of work, and it was depression time. The depression was still pretty bad. In the meantime, I had been going to work for the National Dollar Stores, and subsequently, in 1935, I was transferred by the National Dollar Stores to come and work in San Diego. So I lived in San Diego until 1939. From 1935 to 1939, I lived in the San Diego area, working for the National Dollar Store.
Oh, San Diego. Oh, by the way, what was your Chinese name?
Chinese name?
Yeah.
Zhong Ting, white.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
We had 11 brothers and sisters, but only six living, five living.
You mean they died in their
many of them, most of them died in childhood and different various reasons, you know. One died of pneumonia, another died of a mastoid infection,
and all of them were born in Oregon?
All were born in Oregon, in Oregon.
National Dollar Store.
Mm-hmm. They're owned by Joe Shung.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Joe Shung.
Joe Shung family.
Joe Shung was very prominent.
He's a very prominent merchant.
Mercantile type.
The National Store.
Mm-hmm.
He started the National Dollar Stores in Oakland.
Uh-huh.
And then he sold stocks, and then it became a very big organization. Today they still have around 40, 50 stores.
Yeah.
All over.
East Los Angeles. Downtown Los Angeles. No,
more
downtown.
All over.
North Broadway, Los Angeles.
Well, all over California.
Yeah, all over California.
Uh-huh. I see.
And they even have stores in Nevada. You know, Reno, Nevada, Tucson, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I see. So what did you do in 1939 when you came over to Los Angeles?
In 35 I came.
In
1939, I was transferred by the dollar store, and I worked in the dollar store in the downtown store on 5th and Broadway for a while.
Uh-huh.
And after that, in 1941, I believe,
uh-huh,
I left the dollar store, and I went into business for myself, a small grocery store, a liquor and grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And I worked, and I had the store for about a year and a half when World War II started.
Mm-hmm.
And so when World War II started, President Roosevelt sent me a nice letter, said, greetings, and you are now in the Army.
What was the age limit for people?
In the beginning of the war, the age limit was up to 50.
Oh, my.
Oh, they drafted people up to 50 years old, but subsequently, they had to let them all go after they were past 35 or so. They were just not right for the Army, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, among the Chinese, they kept some of them even past their 40s because they were good cooks. And they needed good cooks in the Army because those American cooks in the Army, you just can't eat what they cook almost.
Yeah. So you went into the Army in 1940?
I can't remember the exact dates now, but it was the end of 42. 40. When was it? 42.
You got out in 43.
Mm-hmm.
I see. And then once you got out, did you become a chiropractor?
I went back to school. I worked for a while. I worked for North American Aviation in making airplanes, assembling airplanes.
That was what you did during the
now,
war?
The war was still on. I was released because I had been injured in the Army.
Oh, you were actually fighting in
No, I was injured in camp. I didn't go overseas.
I see.
But in camp, I had my foot operated on for one thing because of an infection from a hiking and all that. And then I was hit by shrapnel when a machine gun exploded in front of me. One of the boys threw a machine gun down and he forgot to put a block into the breech.
Uh-huh.
And the machine gun fired. He forgot to even take the ammunition out. And it was an accident. And I was just hit with shrapnel, but I wasn't seriously injured. Just shrapnel hit me all over the chest. But those went into the records and...
So they released you?
Yeah, and I was released because for future training, I couldn't march.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's
using an army with a bad foot.
Yeah, that's true.
And the whole group went to Europe, see? Oh. So they had to release him because he couldn't perform.
No.
The whole group had
And subsequently, many and many of those good friends of mine in my battalion went directly to France.
Uh-huh.
Many of them were killed in the Battle of the Bulge. I was lucky.
Yeah.
Many of them were killed in the Battle of the Bulge. They just went in time for the Battle of the Bulge.
I see. And what did you do after you got out of the Army? Worked for an airplane company?
That was just temporary work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I decided to take the advantage of the GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to school. Learned to become a chiropractor.
Uh-huh.
The reason I went into it because I had a back injury from diving.
Uh-huh.
And in diving, I fell back down on the board because the board was very slippery. It had slime on it.
Oh, yeah.
And one of these fancy dives, I hit on my neck and injured my back. And for years, I had this bad spot. And going from doctor to doctor, even when we first got married, she used to have to rub my back every night because it was so sore. And just by coincidence, I decided maybe a chiropractic might be a good profession. And I went into it. And while I was studying to become a chiropractor, in teaching it, they manipulated my back in school.
And you got well?
And it got me well. So after that, I believed in chiropractic considerably. I still believe in it.
Oh, yes.
I still believe in a lot of it, except now I'm retired.
Yeah. Were you one of the first Chinese chiropractors?
No, I'm not. No, I wasn't. There were many chiropractors. But most of them that went to chiropractic school were not chiropractors. They are herbalists, but they went to chiropractic college and used a license to sell herbs.
Oh, so after they graduated, they didn't practice.
They didn't practice true chiropractic. They practiced Chinese herbs.
Oh, I see. Where did you set up your office? Or when did you graduate from the chiropractic
school? I graduated in 1949,
I believe. Took you that long to go?
Mm-hmm. 4 years.
3 years.
4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
Oh,
mm-hmm. By the time I was working in the airplane factories and so forth and so on. By the time the war ended, it was around 45 already.
Uh-huh.
So when I went to school, it was 46, 47, 48, yeah. and 49.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Mm-hmm.
When you were in L.A. during that time,
yeah. mm-hmm.
between, you know, on and off between 39 and 45, no, 45.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Where did you live?
We lived in Vernon Avenue when we first got married, a small little one...
No bedroom
apartment. That was all you could get. You couldn't find a place right after the war.
Why?
Vernon
too many
and
people?
Yeah.
Vernon and Figueroa.
When did you get married?
I got married on a 3-day pass.
When he was in the Army?
I was still in the Army.
Yeah,
in 1943, I was in the Army.
Uh-huh.
I came home and got married on a 3-day pass.
You met each other before?
We knew each other. She worked in the dollar store for a short time. And I met her when she was working in the dollar store, too.
Oh, okay.
When she first came out from Texas, after her mother and her father divorced, she came out
uh-huh.
with her mother. And she got a job at the dollar store.
So how far did you go in terms of schooling, not including chiropractic?
I graduated
high school.
I started to go to the University of Oregon. I didn't have any money, so I just started, and then I had to quit.
Okay.
Didn't even hardly enter yet, and I quit.
And so all of your studies were in that?
Yeah, so you could just say I actually just finished high school because as soon as I started there.
Doesn't chiropractic school require a college education?
No,
first?
No,
not
high school.
College.
Oh,
that is college.
That is a
he
college.
He went to chiropractic college. That's a college.
I see. Yeah. What kind of classes did you have to take?
Oh, practice. Everything.
Anatomy, sounds
like. Oh, yeah. It's almost similar to a medical course. The only thing is that we didn't have surgery
intensive.
And some of those things, you know, but everything, biology, and, everything. We had this very similar courses.
When did you start practicing? 1950?
Yeah.
Okay.
1949 or 1950.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So you were up through 45. You were still working on and off kind of thing, right?
I did odd jobs. I worked for the dollar store even on Saturdays.
While he was going to school.
During the time that I was going to school, I worked for the dollar store on Saturdays.
From 39 to 45, you had your grocery store for a while, and then you got drafted, and then you got released in 43,
mm-hmm.
and then you worked
for the
airplane
factory
until 45.
That's right. Then after
45.
That, in 1945, I went to chiropractic school, college.
Did you like Los Angeles when you first came?
Yes, I did. I did because it was much warmer than Astoria, Oregon, and it didn't rain as much.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
I enjoyed it down here. The only thing I missed was the beautiful green and lovely tall trees, the big beautiful streams and everything up there. But weather-wise, this is very ideal down here.
What about people? Did you mostly associate with Chinese or
I was fortunate. I was fortunate in this respect. Many of the younger Chinese in a small town
mm-hmm.
didn't have a chance to really associate with any Oriental people hardly because there were hardly any of them
mm-hmm.
living there. They became practically Americanized. They couldn't even hardly speak Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate in this extent that my father was a cannery contractor. And during the times right after vacation, we spent all our time in the fish cannery, and you either had to talk Chinese or you don't speak because most of the workers were all Chinese. And I had when we had Japanese crew, I even used to know how to speak Japanese a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a Filipino crew.
Uh-huh.
And I learned a few Filipino words too.
Uh-huh.
So I had the fortunate association of being with the Oriental people
mm-hmm.
Part of the time.
Did y'all also have American friends when you were going
oh,
to
yes,
school?
Oh, yes, we did.
Uh-huh.
But in Oregon, Oregon, at that time, the Chinese were how can I say it? There were many places that we were not welcome. Restaurants, a lot of things. We'd go in there, they'd say, I'm sorry, but you're in the wrong place.
Yes.
And I didn't find that too much in California.
I see.
Yeah, I can even recall that there was a ice cream place just 2 blocks from where we lived, and I was working for the dollar store at that time.
In where?
In Oregon.
In Oregon.
Portland at the time, I was working for the dollar store in Portland, Oregon, not Astoria.
Uh-huh.
And we sat down, three of us, Chinese, sat down. And we were just talking with each other. How come they didn't serve us? We didn't think anything of it at first. Then pretty soon, we noticed that other people came in later. They were being served, and we were still sitting there.
Yeah.
So finally, I said, we haven't been served. And he says, I think you're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And we just have to walk out.
Oh,
yeah. And there were hotels that didn't accept Orientals, and a lot of those things. No, I found that much more prevalent in Oregon than I did in California. When I came down here, I felt much more free because I didn't find that much of it here.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been some, but I don't know. I didn't find that much of it here.
Mm-hmm. When you came down here, would you say most of your new friends were also Chinese? Or were they of all different ethnic
I would say
groups?
Of both Occidental and Oriental, both.
Yeah. Do you feel more comfortable with one group or another?
Not that much, except when it comes to speaking Chinese, I'm not that good at speaking.
Uh-huh.
You know.
So you
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't feel comfortable speaking Chinese?
No, I feel comfortable in conversation.
Uh-huh.
I can't make a speech very well.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see.
And I can't read very well.
Did you associate with, say, Mexicans or
not very
Blacks
much.
At all?
Not very much, because I just didn't have any run into the opportunities of having that many Mexican people as friends. Although, during my school association, I had several Mexican friends.
When you worked for the dollar store, what did you do?
Well, I worked myself.
Were they all Chinese employees?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All Chinese.
Including the cashier and everybody?
No. Most of
it's a department store, you know, clerical work, and,
uh-huh.
you know. But I was the.
Most of the so called, like, managers, they call them.
Uh-huh.
They're all Chinese. But the other clerks are all different.
I was a
girls.
Department manager,
yeah.
And I also was advertising manager. In fact, I was the advertising manager for a while of the San Diego stores. We had ads made out where we coordinated with the San Diego, the San Bernardino, and the Los Angeles stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the ads up for them. And we would have the same type of a sale in conjunction.
Yes.
By saving, they can save money that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was advertising manager with a dollar store for a while, for Southern California area.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel more Chinese or American back in those days?
I felt more Chinese. I always felt more Chinese.
When you were being refused service and so on, what was your reaction?
What was my feelings about it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't like
it.
That's
did
all.
You
I just
wish that you were not Chinese?
Not that much, no. Mm-mm. Some kids did.
Yeah.
Some children did, because they felt, my golly, well, I'm missing out on some things, but I didn't feel that.
I don't think Chinese really feels that way. I think Chinese feel that they're mad at the American people for being prejudiced against us, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I felt resentment.
Toward them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Chinese, I think the Chinese always feel proud of their heritage. That's one thing that keeps us going, I think.
Mm-hmm. Did you consider yourself an American?
I consider myself American to the extent that I am in America.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the privilege of being American citizen. I had no resentment in going into the army because I'm living here and I'm an American. I resented the American inequality of people treating others as not equals, which is your problem today amongst the colored, the Mexicans and everything. It's the same problem.
Oh, did you ever disagree with your family about being Chinese or American?
No. Not me, and personally, no, not myself.
Oh, by the way, did you go to a Chinese school at all?
I did, but in a little town like that, where it's only about 20, 30 students, the class would last maybe 2 months, and they'd have to close it up. They didn't have enough students. That was the reason why I never was able to learn too much Chinese. I picked my Chinese up from working with the Chinese.
Uh-huh. Did your mother teach you?
No.
Was she literate?
My mother was raised in San Francisco, but she was born in China, and she came over when she was a little baby.
Oh, so she didn't know how to write Chinese either.
No. She spoke good Chinese, but she didn't know how to read or write it.
Uh-huh.
Just a little bit. Just a little tiny bit.
Yeah. And your father?
My father spoke and wrote Chinese very well, but he was self-taught.
I see. He didn't teach you?
No. We were too busy with raising family and all that. And his work. See, in the fish cannery, he'd be gone. By the time the season starts, he would be gone to where the canneries are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would join him when we got our vacation time in the fish cannery.
When anyone in your family got sick, did they prefer Chinese or American medicine?
I would say about 3/4 of it was treated by Americans. But when it came to certain little things or certain other disease, which we felt the Chinese herbs were good, we didn't hesitate to use that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you eat any what's called medicine-oriented foods that supposed to have some herbs in it, not necessarily medicine.
Very much.
Yeah, you
I love it. I like it.
Yeah.
Like Chinese soups and all these different things that have certain things that are supposed to be good for you.
Yeah,
and
right.
I still love them.
I see.
I think it's superior to many other American medicines, even though that I'm have been in the profession, the chiropractic profession. I feel that a lot of the Chinese culture and the Chinese things is very good, very good.
Yeah.
Superior even to American medication, which is all chemical.
Oh yes, I see. Did your family prefer Chinese recreational activities or Western ones?
Our family?
They were workers.
They play.
Well, yes, we did, but it was all American. It was all American. Baseball, basketball, and swimming, and things like that. It was all American. There were no Chinese play
Not even
movies up there.
How about mahjong?
Mahjong?
Up there.
No, not us, not in our family. There were other people playing mahjong, but my mother didn't play it, and my dad didn't play it.
Uh-huh.
And so I never cultivated a taste for mahjong. I don't even play it today. She does, but I don't.
I see. Did you ever write to any of your friends, relatives back in China?
I met what few I knew. No, I don't write anymore to them because I don't have hardly any.
Oh,
that I know
firsthand.
But when I went to China, I lived in China for a while.
Yeah, when did you?
I lived in China around 1929, 1930 for a short time.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yeah, right during just the beginning of the Depression, my dad and mother and all the rest of the kids, when the fishing season started to die off because of the Bonneville Dam, my dad decided to take a trip. And we went back with him, and I lived in the village, and I met some of the relatives.
Yeah, but you didn't keep in contact with them?
No, not strictly in that sense, no.
Yeah. When you were in Los Angeles, did you join any Chinese associations?
Yes.
Like?
The Lung Kong, Four Family Association.
Oh, the Four Family Association,
yeah.
Lung Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Now I belong to the Hoi Ping Association.
Uh-huh.
Now I belong to the Chinese American Citizens Alliance, CACA.
Since when?
Pardon?
Since?
Since the early 50s.
Oh, I see. Okay. Anything non-Chinese then? Any other social organization?
Yeah.
Chinese
American Legion.
American Legion.
Oh.
I was commissioner for the Boy Scouts for a number of years.
PTAs. All the PTAs.
PTA.
These are recent activities, right?
No,
like
when the children were little.
When, they, when my,
kid,
when my children
50s?
Were, no, they're
50s?
In the 50s.
In the 50s,
mm-hmm.
I see. When did you, which year did you join the family, the Longgang?
I became reactivated because when we were children in Portland, I already belonged to Longgang,
uh-huh.
the Longgang chapter in Portland.
Yeah.
But then in California, I didn't become reactivated with the group until around in the early 50s. And I've been with that, pretty active with them in the past 25 years.
Do you remember how much dues you had to pay a year once you got reactivated?
The dues are only $4 a year. It's not the dues that cost you money. It's all your other activities.
The donations.
The donations, the parties, the, party for New Year, party for Chun Yin, party for all these things. Yeah, everybody has to donate and chip in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you become an officer, naturally it becomes more expensive because you get so many invitations for weddings and invitations to this and that, and you have to attend the banquet, you have to buy wedding presents.
Yeah.
Those things are expensive. But joining the Gong Suos is not expensive at all.
Going back a little bit to 1935.